It's an interesting halach in Shulchan Aruch. At the end of Hilchos Pesach, the Mechaber brings down some tough tzadi beis that there's a minhag to have something called Bahab. Monday, Thursday, Monday, post-Pesach and Sukkot, there used to be a minhag in the times of the Rishonim, they used to have a fast day. And in the Rishonim, there are various reasons behind this minhag. Taisvus in Kedushin says that the reason for this minhag was that on Pesach and Sukkot, the rabbi used to give a drasha, and everyone from the community would come, and it would lead to intermingling, and that's why they have Bahab. The Torah writes a different reason. The Torah writes is because it's 7-8 days of Yimei Simcha, a lot of partying and drinking, and we tend to do Averis when we're in a good mood. But the reason why I bring this up, there's a fascinating Levush. The Levush says the reason why we do Bahab is because there's a Shinoi in the Avir. There's a change in the weather. And that change in the weather is potentially harmful. And we fast to protect ourselves from that change in the weather. So for all you allergy sufferers, and myself included, I'm convinced that's what the Levush means. There's no doubt in my mind. It means there's allergies. And that's where I think one of the reasons in the Echrenim for the Minhag of Bahab. So for all of us allergy sufferers, that's maybe why we should try to find ourselves to Bahab. It's very hard to find Bahab today. In the yeshiva, some yeshivas still have slichas. They made the Mishaberech now. The Shabbos, we first made the Mishaberech for those that... Yeah. You'll find it today. And it's not as widely accepted as it used to be. But that's one of the reasons. The Levush says it has to do with the weather. The Prima Gadim says it has to do with the fact that there was a zilzal of Chol HaMoed. Because many asked the Kasha, well, Pesach and Sukkot, what happened to Shavuos? What happened to Purim? What happened to Hanukkah? There's a lot of other days. So the answer is because there was a zilzal of Chol HaMoed. Many of us, probably not on purpose, but we didn't treat Chol HaMoed properly. So that's only when there's a Chol HaMoed. Shavuos has no Chol HaMoed. What about the partying? If you tell me it's like the Torah's reason because you made Mishta V'Simcha, Hanukkah was 8 days. So the answer is, yeah, but there was no Chiv to drink for 8 days. You didn't have to have any Chiv Mishta V'Simcha. That's why we have it after Sukkot. We have it after Pesach and Sukkot. So they ask, why not Shavuos? Why not Hanukkah? So they ask, why not after Purim? If there's ever a day in the Jewish calendar where we need it, it should be Purim. So the Klausenberg Rebbe has a cute dvart. That's Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther, we fast before Purim in case we do something bad on Purim, this should be somehow a kapar. Says the Klausenberg Rebbe, that's why women don't fast Tainus Esther. Why don't women fast Tainus Esther? Since women don't really drink on Purim, which we spoke about in Halacha Shehir, they don't drink on Purim, so there's very little chash that they're going to do anything inappropriate, so they don't need to fast on Tainus Esther. However, the men who are going to drink on Purim, they need to fast on Tainus Esther. That's the Shtickle Torah the Klausenberg Rebbe writes in his Sefer. But in any case, it's an interesting Halacha. Today, some of the yeshivas, they have slichas. Some say even Avinu Malkeinu on these days. I don't know anyone personally who even fasts, but I'm sure there are people, tzaddiki elyonim, who do fast on Bahab. Which the Arthur was to do. There's some creative halachic shayos that come up when Bahab falls out on Pesach Sheni, if Bahab falls out on Lag Ba'Omer, if Bahab falls on Yom Ha'atzmaut. Some creative shayos amongst Achrenim. How do you deal with all these things? How do we treat the days that are happy days and the sad day? So there are some creative shayos that do come out from it. But it's pasha by me. What Levush means, Neshtana Avir, it means what we call today allergies, and that's why we should fast Bahab.
I don't think the people holding by Bahab are celebrating Yom Ha'atzmaut.
They talk about it. There's literature about it. There's tshuvas about it. About what are you doing all these different things? But in any case, that's the idea behind Bahab. Okay. We left off last week. We were introduced to the Gemara in the beginning of the 8th Perek, where the Mishnah told us that besides putting a get into the woman's hand, a person can also put the get into a woman's possession. Her backyard, her car, her front yard, any possession, her chatzar, her courtyard, any possession that's considered halachically hers, and that would consider a nesina, and that would create gerushin. And right after that, the Gemara asks, Menani Mili. Let's see the Gemara again inside. The Gemara number one. Menani Mili. How do you know that you can make Kinyan Chatzar and that helps for a get? So, Chayra, there's a couple of ways of understanding the Gemara's question. When the Gemara walks in, the Gemara asks, how do you know Chatzar works? Does that mean the Gemara assumes that the concept of Chatzar by other places works? I mean, the concept that my backyard can be kind of for me is not a chiddush learned over here first time in Sechus Gittin. That's a concept we find all over the place. There's something called a chatzar, and there's something called your backyard, and your backyard can be kind of for you. So what was the most question? The answer was, because by get, I would have thought not like that. Why would I think? Because look in the Torah. The Torah writes biyadi twice. V'nasam biyada, v'nasam biyada. So I would thought, even though I have a principle of chalatari kulei, chatzar shaladim kaine, that there's a principle that my chatzar is kaine, even though we'll see later, that's actually learned that from Gerushin. So that's the makar for it. But let's put that aside for a second. Let's make believe it's just a logical surah. Like that Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, Kinyan Chatzar is not a chiddush. It's logical. It's my property. So now what's the Gemara's kash from Menani Mili? So you can learn the Gemara's kash is Menani Mili specifically by get. Why specifically by get? Because what was the Torah write? The Torah wrote V'nasan biyoda, in her hand. So you can only put it in her hand. How do you know you can put it anywhere else? That's one way of learning the Gemara's kash. The other way you can learn the Gemara's kash was more general. Generally speaking, how do you know there's such a thing called Kinyan Chatzah? The Gemara could have asked the same kasha if we were talking about a matana. The Gemara could have asked the same kasha if we were talking about an aveda. The Gemara could have asked if we were asking about selling things. If I want to sell you something, how do I know if I put it in your chatzah, now it becomes yours? The Gemara could have asked the same kasha. Over here, we were talking about get, so we asked the kasha. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is Kinyan Chatzah a logical Kinyan without Gezeres HaKasuv, or the whole Kinyan Chatzah needs to be derived from a specific pasuk? That's the chayra, two ways to learn the Gemara's kasha. The Chassam Sofer in his Tshuva really learns the Gemara's Kasha a third way. The Gemara's Kasha is that I know the Cholatara Kula Kinyan Chatzah works, but I also know Gerushin is strange. I know Gerushin is in abnormal Chalois due to the fact that it works against the woman's will, which we'll have to talk a lot about today. So therefore, Mehecha Teso, such a Kinyan works for Chatzah. Meaning if I want to be Kaina Chatzah when both parties are willing, oh Chedesh, both parties are willing, you can do it. But over here, where it's only a one-sided Kinyan, so to say, how do you know for this Mechudish one-sided Kinyan Chatzah works? That was the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara asks, "V'nan emili the Tana Rabbanu we learned in the Brisa, v'nasan biyada." It says in the Torah, "Put it in her hand." Ain li yelo yada. I only know you can put it into her hand. Gagoy chaterir ve'kafif v'nayim. How do I know her roof, her fence, her courtyard? All these other fancy examples of reshuyes, which the Tveres Yaakov already asked. Why do you need to get so specific? Tamad loymar v'nasan b'chol moke. The Torah says the word v'nasan. It means in any place. So we spoke last week at length about various pshatim and rishonim and achronim. What exactly is the drasha of the Gemara? Tamadayimah v'nasim b'chol mokim. What exactly is the drasha? But in any case, I saw a fascinating chakira. After all the facts, after all the smoke clears, that we have a drasha. Yesh lachka. What is chatzar mean? What is chatzar? Is the pshat that the Torah is being married that chatzar is taka the same thing as a yad? When the Torah wrote yad, the Torah didn't just mean hand, it meant hand and possession. Or, when the Torah wrote yad, it meant hand. There's another riboy that extends and says not only hand, you can even put it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But not that chatzar is working like yad. Mm-hmm. Chatzar is taken under a sug kinyan. Now, it works similar to yad because the Gemara says in Baal Metziah chatzar mitam yad. But maybe when the Torah was marbe, this new chiddush of chatzar, the Torah wasn't saying that when I wrote the word yad, I didn't mean it. Many times you have a drasha, the Torah wrote something specific, so then the Reba teaches me, don't be so specific. The Torah wrote the word. Yeah, the Torah is, yeah, it wasn't literal. It was more inclusive. Or no, the Torah Taka wrote Yad. But the Torah wrote another Reba, which teaches me not only is Yad an option, Chatzar is also an option. Not because Chatzar is your Yad. Chatzar is not your Yad. Chatzar is different. Chatzar is a weaker version of Kinyan. Your Yad is much better. But the Torah was married, but you can also put it into her Chatzar. This is a Chakir that one could clear after the Gzeres HaKasuv.
But so if kitten is such a unique concept in which you can do it against her will,
yeah.
So why limit it to chatzar? Why not? Because we're dividing between two.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
So why couldn't it be if that's the goal, right? That it could be even if it's his property and she's physically there.
So that's
talks about, yeah. Tosfos talks yep. about that if that it doesn't work. She could be in his bed if it's yeah. his property. It doesn't work.
So that's what we're going to figure out.
The initial rationale.
If we're going to,
should be even broader.
Okay, so we're going to see in a few minutes when we discuss this whole idea of it being balkarcha. How far do we take that? Does that mean it now has its own rules? We should forget all pre-existing rules. Are we still working with the basic premise? That's something we need to get to in a few minutes. L'chayre, to this chakira, there's a starker raya from Rashi. If you look at number 3 for a second, Rashi writes, when you put it in her chatzah, like Rashi, the konsala chatzera, her chatzah is kaina, ki'ilu nosna biyada, as if you put it in your hand. So they want to make the diak. What do you mean, ki'ilu nosna biyada? If chatzah is really yad, it's the same thing. It's not ki'ilu, it's nosna biyada. I put it in her hand. Because when the Torah wrote hand, the Torah didn't mean a physical hand, the Torah meant a possession. You have to read the Torah, and the Torah wrote v'kasa v'nasan biyada, doesn't mean put it into her physical hand. It means to put it into anything that's her possession. That's what it means. It's not ki'ilu I put it in her hand. I put it in her hand.
The other way that it means it's not
so Rashi. Elamai Rashi must mean that it's not mamish yad, but it's like yad. What does it mean it's like yad? It's a good enough place to put a get as if it was in her yad. The Torah really says put it in her yad. That's really the preferred version, let's say. But then the Torah was mechadish to create the drushes that it's okay to put it in another place. What's the other place you may put it? You may put it in her chas. And that's like you did it into her yad. But it's not mamish yad. That's maybe a dig from this Rashi.
Maybe say Rashi is trying to learn Gemara, even if your whole chatzar is mitam shlichus.
Even though by Gershon right? It's mitam yad.
General, right? But maybe Gershon, right, there's still a mechanism that will work.
Right. So the problem with all this Torah is that the Gemara says in Baal Metziah clearly that by Gershon the chatzar is mitam yad. Now the Gemara says without a doubt. By Gershon kulam lo'i pligi chatzar is mitam yad.
Maybe it comes back to how you understand the question of the Gemara. Is the Gemara asking globally.
Right. 100%. So like this whole chakira, you have to still dance around that topic. That what do you mean? It's not like yeah, but the Gemara says chatzar is mitam yad. So you're gonna have to say that even if chatzar mitam yad means the way it's functioning is similar to a yad, but it's still not your yad.
Because by again, you can't say it's
mitam shlichus. Right.
So there's no shlichus.
The way Rabbi Shabbi Elion is a shir, I listened to him. The way he quotes B'shem Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said, "What does it mean chatz mitam yad? It means kilu she has three hands. That's what chatz mitam yad means. She has three hands. Instead of having two hands, she has two physical hands, and she has a third hand. That's called the chatz. That's what chatz mitam yad would mean." That's the way he says over B'shem Reb Chaim, what Chatz Mitam Yad means. The other way of saying is, no, Avad Vesh only has two hands. But when the Torah said hands, the Torah didn't mean physical hands. The Torah, hands means a possession. That's what the Torah meant. The Torah said instead of putting it in a physical hand, the Torah means put it in a possession. That's the other way of saying. But the other way of answering this Chakira might depend on where exactly the drush is from. Taisvis, we learned last week, Taisvis learned the whole drush is based on the Klal Prat Klal. The Torah says Venasa, which is a klal, the other is a prat, and then the Torah says Veshulcha, which is a klal, prat, a klal. Whenever you have a klal, prat, a klal, the way it works is it's telling you ke'en a prat. It's telling you how to read up the Torah. So if it's telling you ke'en, it's probably telling you that what the Torah wrote was the Torah meant similar, but not explicitly this. So if you're going like Taisvis, it would make more sense to learn it's ke'en ha prat, and therefore the Torah is probably telling us that it's not the pshat that it's not yad. The pshat that the Torah says inclusive in yad is this also. Okay. Now, the Gemara is mechadish to us that you could put a get in an isha's chatzar. So exactly what was the chiddush akra? The chiddush akra is that this either is considered biyada, this is an extension of riyad, and therefore you could put the get into her chatzar. The ktzais over here, which we talked about last week, but we have to really get into this week, is a very famous ktzais. Now the truth is the ktzais gets all the credit for it, but it wasn't his chiddush. It's mashma from like this in Rashi and Ervin, the Hafla writes explicitly in Subis, but the ktzais in Simin Reish, number 2, writes the following statement. He has 4 riyas. We're not going to go into all 4 of them. Menachem Sasha, Rabbi Asher Weiss has, about 10 pages where he goes through all of the 4 rayas and he slugs them all up. We borrowed some of that material, but not all of it. So we don't have enough time to go through all of his rayas. But as we go through the perek, we will come across many things that have to do with this ktsais. But just to see the ktsais inside, the ktsais writes the following premise. He's bothered with the idea of gitta v'yadim b'in ke'echad. He doesn't understand how exactly does this work. This mechanism that we all know in Gerishin called gitin v'yadim b'in ke'echad. You put the get in her hand, and at the same time, her hand is kainit, the get becomes hers, and everything works out nicely. So he says like this. Elavadai digabe isha loy boi rak v'nosem biyodo. Says the tzais, the reason is because by isha you don't need any kinyanim. All you need is put it in her hand. V'chein be'eved, v'leka teres chiyah v'hakno ba'karcha. Says, I'll bring you a raya. Because how can she be kinyan digab ba'karcha? We're never kinyan things against our will. You can't sell me something against my will. I don't want it. I can't purchase it. So asks the tzais, so how is it isha ever kinyan get? The answer is she's never kinyan get. Who told you need to be kinyan get? The psukim don't say you have to be kind of the get. The psukim say you have to give the get. So I gave the get. I did my part. It's like we spoke about by shalach manas. There's a whole discussion. The Rishayim, if you give shalach manas and the other person doesn't want to receive it, so the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes a yaitza. Why? Because I did my part. You don't want to accept it. That's your problem. I did what I had to do. So the Torah writes v'nasam biyada. I did v'nasam biyada. Therefore, says the tzais, the chiddush of gerushin is that she doesn't have to be kind of the get. So the tzais raya number 1 is from the fact that it works bal karcha. Okay, we'll have to deal with that raya. Right, number 2 says the ktsais may high time and nami nira, but the kaimel and kotsva al asuria hana kasha. Bring you another raya. There's a Gemara in Gittin that says if you take a piece of asuria hana, something you're not allowed to derive pleasure from, and you write a get on it, and you hand it to the lady, so she's kind of the get. Chaloy's gerishin works. The afagat the lekatar is chia klal be asuria hana. You're not allowed to be kind of asuria hana. You can't own asuria hana. So if I can't own asuria hana, how does the woman own the get? If you're right, says the ktsais, that the premise of gerishin means you have to acquire the get in order for the get to be effective, which is the way I think most of us would have thought, that the way chalois gerushin works is you give her the get, she acquires it, and that kinyan in the get makes the chalois. So how do you deal with the suri hana? You can't be kind of the suri hana. Now, he does mention that it's machloikis rishonim, whether or not a person can be kind of the suri hana, machloikis rashba and rivash. But he says, but if you assume like the rashba, not like the rivash, elevadai mishum de gerushin bakarcha loi boyis chi klal. You never need to be kind of the get, ella v'nosan biyada. All you have to do is put it in her hand and you're done. However, if you look at the last line, he writes, "Ulefiza nir b'shtar matana." What happens if it would be a shtar matana? Let's say it's not a shtar gerushin. You want to write a shtar matana, a document that's going to state that you're giving a present, or a shtar matana that you're going to make a sale on a piece of property. Then you have to be kind of that shtar. That's different. That shtar requires a kinyan or for that shtar to work. Therefore, you would not be allowed to write that shtar in a suri hana.
I didn't understand it last week. I still don't understand what the hava mean is that you would have to be kona to get. The get is a krisis, so the Baal has rights, and he wants to cut those rights off,
mm-hmm.
right? She doesn't have any rights.
Oh, yeah.
So putting it in her yad just means that she needs to know that this has happened to her, right? We know it's bal korcha, or it can be.
Right.
It has happened because she needs to know how to run the rest of her life.
Correct.
But she doesn't have to be kone anything because she's not giving anything up.
It's all being taken from her.
Oh,
very good.
It's different than
okay,
a star
good, good.
Into sale.
Very good. You mechavet to Rabbi Weiss. He says that story, yeah. And we'll get to that a little later today. There's a fundamental difference between what's going on by a gerush and by a regular transaction. A regular transaction is a two-way street. I'm giving up and you're gaining. I'm giving, you're getting. By a gerush, it's one way. You get rid of the husband, she's free automatically. She doesn't need to give up. She is independently herself. Just the husband's on top of her. When we get rid of him, so we just got rid of him, she goes back to being herself automatically.
And the biyada comes to tell us that she has to be aware of it.
Yes,
otherwise,
yes. Okay, good.
She'll be over avera.
Yeah, good. We'll see in a few minutes.
He says it's
100% correct.
That's a byproduct of divorce.
Yeah.
But in the actual, let's say, transfer of bilis,
whatever
we'll call transfer of bilis at a divorce, it's not the pshat that he takes away his bilis and he gives her bilis back. She has her own bilis. We spoke about this in the beginning of Kedushin. We'll see in a few minutes. Rabbi Weiss points this out and we'll get to that.
There are property rights that are
which is
affected,
true.
that is affecting her.
Right, that's
in terms
all.
Of what, it's not purely unilateral because the property which the husband acquires now has to be appraised.
Yeah, but that's all a byproduct of being divorced. What does it mean to be divorced? Being divorced means you're no longer married. How do you take off the marriage? You take off the bilis, the power that you had on her, and now she has it. So if I sell you an object, so what do? I transfer ownership. It goes from me to you. By an ish, you're not transferring ownership. It's a one-sided ownership. She really owns herself. Except that she gets married, the husband overtakes her power, and now he's in charge. When he steps away, she now automatically is back in charge. There's no transfer of ownership. We'll see this all. Rabbi Shavais is in one of the pieces that we took from that long, I think he has a two or three, maybe even four simanim on this, on Gittin. We'll have it over here. We'll see it inside in a few minutes. I'm going to get to that also today. Yeah, we got to deal with that today also. How's this all going to apply to a Kedushin? Is there a tzad in the world that you don't need to be kind of Kedushin? Let's say a man wants to marry a lady with kedushin. Is there a tzad in the world that all you have to do is give it to her? You don't even have to. You don't even need a kinyan. What about shtar? What about we'll see a chiddush from Rav Tolly Trump, the granat. He takes it a step further. He says even kedushay kesef. There's a tzad that kedushay kesef doesn't need a kinyan. So
just give it to her.
Just give it to her. It's a pelet de kazach. We'll believe I have to get to a little later today. It's really wild, but we'll hopefully get to that a little later today. But let's just digest the tzais first before we deal with all the issues with the tzais. The chiddush of the tzais is that gerushin never requires a kinyan on the actual get. All it requires is an actual giving. Give it to her. So in Lefiza, how do you learn the Gemara? What's the Gemara's chiddush? Tamalayim of anasan. What's the chiddush of anasan? A kinyan chatzah is kain. I don't need to be kain anything. What's the whole Gemara over here? According to the Gemara, you have to read the Gemara completely different. The Gemara is not discussing how to be kain. The Gemara is discussing, is this called v'nasan la? When the Torah was mechadish, you have to give it to her. What's called giving it to her? Is giving it to her, giving it to her hand, or giving it to her chatzah? So the chiddush of chatzah, according to the Ktzais, is not that chatzah is actually a kinyan, a mahalach of how to be kain object. All chatzah teaches me is that when the Torah wrote give it to her, putting it in her chatzah is a kiyam of that. But you don't see anything that Kenyan Chatzar has the ability to actually be kind of things, according to this text, which is almost a pella, because the Gemara says in many places in Shas, how do you learn that Kenyan Chatzar? Kenyan Chatzar learned that from Gerushin. Kenyan Chatzar learned that from Gerushin. According to the text, there's no Kenyanim over here.
Okay.
Nothing to do with anything. It's a pella dicker thing. We're going to have to blue nether get to that later. How is the text going to learn up a Gemara in Bar Mitzia and Rishonim that they all say, where do we know the idea of called Kenyan? We learn it from Chatzar. How do we know Chatzar is kind of Ba'alma? How do I know Chatzar works for Matana and for an Aveda? I learned it from Gevishin. Gevishin? According to the Ksais, there's no Kinyan taking place over, so it's Mam Shapel. Okay, we'll have to get to that a little later. One of the rayas that the Achrayim bring to defend the Ksais' Svara, as we mentioned last week, was the Stipler. The Stipler said, I'll bring a raya that the Ksais has to be correct. And then he rejects it. But the raya that is a shoita. The halach is that a shoita is able to get a get, at least midaraisa. Midarabani, you can't divorce her because she's just going to wander around and it's not going to be good. But midaraisa, a woman who is a shoita can get divorced. Asks the stipler, what do you mean? How? Midaraisa, a shoita has no kinyon. She has no ways of owning this get. If there's a din, you have to own the get. So how can a shoita ever be divorced? Says the stipler, you see from here? There's no such din, you have to own the get. Now, many asked, what happened to Ketana? Let's put Shaita, okay, Shaita. What about a Ketana? A 7-year-old girl gets divorced. How does she get her get? So we said last week, Das Acheres Makna Isay, right? We said that from the stipler suggested that Ketana is not a Kasha. How is a ketana koiner get? You're right, because by a ketana we have this thing called das acheres. If someone else's das works to create the kinyan, so enach and ami a ketana on her own can acquire the get, but if someone else's das is injected into it called das acheres, then it works.
That's the das of the baal?
The das of the baal, maybe, yeah, the das of the baal. Now, Reb Shimon, I found, Reb Shimon doesn't like this.
That's only there's a kinyan.
What?
That's only...
Right, but over here we're assuming...
There's no kinyan.
No, we're assuming that you need a kinyan, putting aside the kasha bakar. Yeah, let's make believe that it's not like the ktsais. But I taka found Reb Shimon in Gittin, Reb Shimon in Simon Zion or Chesim, Sechaz Gittin, Reb Shimon doesn't like this. Reb Shimon says it's not true. He quotes a Ravid, that the Ravid says, Das Acheres Machna Oisei works through the principle of Zochen, as you brought up last week, that it works through Zochen. The way someone else's das can affect my kinyan is because of a principle called Zochen L'Adam Shalei Befanam. I can do things for you without your knowledge.
Says
Reb Shimon, that's only when it's for your benefit. Get, the Gemara comes out as a Chayvula. Get is not a good thing. So it's up to Reb Shimon, you can't have das acheres machnas. That's Reb Shimon's cheshbon that he makes. Okay. Now, one of the big kashas on the ktsois, and everyone asks us on the ktsois, is from a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin talks about a case of, let's say, a man gives the get to the wife, and he says to her, Harezi Gitach Van Yorshali. I want to retain ownership of the paper. You can have the get, but I want I own the paper. So the Gemara says, in such a case, the get's no good. Like it's Rishayin and Rashi and Rambam, why no good? We'll put that aside. Frekt on the ktsais. What do you mean no good? Why is it any different? Well, why is it no good? Because she wasn't cutting the paper. Who needs to be cutting the paper? I made an asina. So if all I have to do is make an asina, so why doesn't this constitute an asina? That's the kasha.
You're giving over then the letters.
You're giving over the paper.
So,
the stipulus teretz is, no, that doesn't count. So the stipulus, that's not an asina. When you give her something and you're retaining ownership, you never made a full mice in the asina. That's not considered a full asina if you're holding up some part of the ownership. If I give you something and then halacha doesn't allow it to work, so then I, as my part, I did what I needed to do. However, if I'm giving you something and I am retaining certain amounts of ownership and I'm saying I'm not fully giving it to you, then I didn't make my mice in the sina.
So what about by a cotton? By matanah?
Yes, so we're going to get to that in a second. So therefore, it's not a kashya.
Well, could you say...
Yeah.
It is a mice in the sina, but it's a lack of krisis because you're still...
That's one of the pshatim in the Rishayim. That's one of the pshatim in the Rishayim to read why it's no good, because it's a lack of krisis. But I want to point out something that Reb Shimon says over here, very interesting. Number four, Reb Shimon writes like this. Says Reb Shimon, Lefi this lamdus, what happened when you give it to a ketana? And Reb Shimon assumes a ketana can't be kind on her own and you can't have any das acheres. So the question is, giving it to a ketana, what is that considered? Would that be considered like giving it in the case of holding up the paper? Or would it be no different than giving it on a case of, let's say, a suri hana? Both, all three cases, you can't make a kinyan on the get. But how do you view it? It's the same thing as saying aniyar shali. Now you can argue and say, it's not the same thing as aniyar shali. When I give the get to the ketana, I'm giving it belev shalom. It's all yours, keep it, do what you want. But there's a technical problem. You can't make kinyonim. But when I give aniyar shali, you can't say I'm giving it belev shalom. I'm not giving it. I'm giving it partially and I'm asking for the paper back. So you would have thought they're not comparable. It says Reb Shimon, they are comparable. And listen to this. Why? The otu bedibur talia milsa. Says Reb Shimon, you think it matters how you word it? Kaven shiyadua de balabayis, de balkorchach yuza lahaniyar. Says Reb Shimon, you know good and well that when you give a get to a ketana, it's coming back unreceived. You know she can't be kain it. It's impossible. So even though you did all you could do, says Reb Shimon, that's the same thing as giving her a piece of niyar shali. Why? The afim nemenesina balkorchach hamenesina. Says Reb Shimon, even if you're willing to accept the fact that you can give something against the will, that's because, as far as everyone else is concerned, this is a kinyonable piece of paper. If she chooses to be kind to it, this paper can be kind. Says Reb Shimon, I'm going to break up all three different cases. When you give something about karchai, why is that called a mice in the scene? Dr. Shimon? Because as far as I'm concerned, I gave a complete giving, which is possible to be kinder. All you need to do is decide yes. Once you decide yes, everything goes. So what's stopping the kinyan is you. Dr. Shimon, what about New York Shali? What about when I tell you can't be kinder the paper? Or what about when I know halachically you're not allowed to be kinder? That is the same thing as giving it knowing that it's never going to have an end result. That's not called a mice in the scene. That's Reb Shimon's chiddush. I think we would have argued. We would have said that when I give it to a ketana, I'm giving it belev shalom. There's a technical problem. Halacha says you can't be kind of things if you're
cut. You're being a wise.
Right, right. He's saying, no, no. He's saying that's still, that's also lacking in your ma'aseh. If you know that this other person can't, not won't, he's machal between not wanting to be kind and unable to be kind. If I give you something and you're able, but you're choosing not to, that's nothing wrong. As far as I'm concerned, I did my job. I gave it to a situation where it's ro'oy l'kinyan. This is like, you know, kosher ro'oy l'bila and bila ma'kevesba. I did it in a case where it's possible to make a kinyan. You chose not to. That's your business. So the Torah overrode your wants and makes it again. But if I'm giving you something known good and well, you can't be kind it, and it can't be for two different reasons. Either the can't is because I'm not giving it to you in a way you could, or I can't because I know halachically you can't. So that doesn't matter.
Can you make some lines between Kenyan and the Sina?
No, because he's trying to work with the idea that even if you don't need a Kenyan, it has to at least be called a Mais and a Sina. So Reb Shimon's Mechadish is, what makes something a Mais and a Sina? What makes it that you did your part? So Reb Shimon says, you did your part if you gave it in a way where it's at least possible to be acquired. But if you gave it in a way where it's not possible to be acquired, you didn't make it a Sina. It's a joke. So Reb Shimon's Chiddush is that giving it to a Ketana, even though you gave it Belev Shalim, but knowing that she can't be kainin is the equivalent of giving it with the case of holding on the paper. That's Reb Shimon's Chiddush. I think it's, you could debate it, but Reb Shimon's being Mechadish that there's no difference between halachically unable, either because she can't because she's too young, or because you yourself are enabling the kinyan because you're holding up. That's Reb Shimon's Chiddush, which again, I think maybe one could argue on this premise, but that's Reb Shimon's idea. He's not the balabas anymore. Once she gets married, she's now on her own.
Don't you reverse it? Meaning, if the katana is acquired, right, through the father,
yeah,
then shouldn't you would require that same
reversal of the transfer? Because the chiddush is that once she gets married, she's now independent. So now that she's independent, she's now back to being the boss. If she's the boss, then there's a technical problem. She can't be makabel. She can't be kind of again. That's the halachic issue we're going to have by a katana. So that's the question, how you deal with the ketan. How do you deal with the kasha on the ktsois? It seems to be a big kasha. How does the ktsois understand, if you don't hold like the ktsois, how do you have gerushin bal karcho? It's a very good kasha. If you don't accept the notion of the ktsois, that there's no din kinyan, and you believe you need to be kaina get, so how's a woman ever kaina against her will? So the achrayim all use the same terminology. You see this terminology in the stipler, the baruch ber, shimon, all the gedolei achrayim use the same terminology. They say, of course, when you give a lady a get, she is kind of the paper. She's kind of the paper. You need to be kind of the paper. From the Gemara and Gerushin. But how are you kind of the paper? So the Achrayim, the Torah is kind of the paper for her. Sounds pretty out there, right?
Even by Ketana?
Even by Ketana, everywhere. The Torah is makna her the paper. This needs a lot of explanation, right? What does that mean? This is it's not a magic trick. If she has to be kind, she has to be kind. So let's see how the stipler describes it. So that's the kashas. What happened to Surya? No. Okay, so let's get to that. Let's see it inside. Number five, Dr. Stipler. Again, the stipler is just one of the achrenim who say it. Reb Baruch Ber quotes this in Birkas Shmuel and Shi'uri Reb Baruch Ber, and they have it b'shem Reb Shimon. It's all the gedolei achrenim say the same terminology. They said this. Says the stipler, is no doubt she's kind of the get. This is not like the tzeis's world where you just make it. She is actually kind of the get. How? Memela. The Torah gives it to her. The Torah makes her zeichin it against her will. Since the Torah said that she's divorced against the will, and one of the dina hagerushin, it's like a catch. The Torah says the gerushin works b'karcha. The Torah also says you need to be kind of the shtar. So how do you make all this work? So the answer is the Torah does whatever it wants. The Torah does the whole thing. Every time a get is given, she's zoicha in it without wanting. 100%, she's screaming, Chaim v'kayim, I don't want, and she still owns it. She owns this actual piece of paper. How do I know it says this type? Because if she doesn't own the paper, the get doesn't work. And the get has to work, because the Torah says it works. Now he's trying to give us some explanation. Since this is a kinyan on its own, it works like Yerusha. It works even for a shoita. Zakta Stipler, no. There's a premise for this in halacha, Yerusha. How does Yerusha work? So the father dies, leaves money for his kids. How did the money become the kids? The answer is there's a kinyan. Doesn't just become magically theirs, but it's a kinyan. The Torah does it. The Torah makes the kinyan, whatever that means. The Torah makes the kinyan. So if the Torah makes the kinyan by Yerusha, the Torah makes the kinyan by Gerushin. So by Gerushin also. There is a kinyan. She's not making it. There is a kinyan taking place, but it's not her. It's the Torah being kainet for her on her behalf, and now she is the owner of the get. Just like says the stipple you have by Yerusha.
Same thing as the Baal says in the Yar Shali. It should work anyway.
So then the kasha is, one second, so why doesn't it work by Niyar Shali? So what you're going to have to say is that by Niyar Shali, it's against his will.
He's not wanting to do it.
The Torah can make Gerushin as long as the one needed party is involved. That's the husband. But if the husband's saying, I don't want to be machted, the Torah can't force the husband to be machted.
And if it's on Isiri, why doesn't the Torah doesn't want to do it?
So you would have thought in that case, the Torah would say, listen, we would have thought the Torah would say, yes, we want Gerushin so badly, but we're not going to want it against something that we previously asked. But that's the Chiddush. This seems to be going clearly against what we thought the Torah wanted.
Torah says, I want it.
Yerusha is the raya. So the stipple, can a shaita be Yerush? Yeah, he says, yeah. A shaita gets Yerusha. A shaita can't make any kinyanim. You don't need kinyanim for Yerusha. It's natural. What does it mean?
Against Gemara. Yeah. Rabbi Elazar, some things that are non-Yerushas that the Torah puts into Yerushas. Right? Bar Rosh Hashanah, Muhammad, some Pesach.
Right.
Should be three things.
No. The pshat over here is that the Torah makes it in Yerushas, just the Torah does a creative way of making it yours. There's no reason why these things should be yours. There's no ownership on these things. They lack ownership.
Why did you say on
these things? They lack ownership because the Torah says it lacks ownership.
There's no kinyan by
Borosh. Right. There is a Meister Kinyan. The Torah is somehow making the Kinyan for you. Whatever that means. Again, I'm not claiming to understand it. But that's what you have to answer if you don't accept the Ketzai's notion.
Why can't you say that by Yerushim and Akitana or Shota... that we make the kinyan for because the husband wants it. But by Yisuri Hana, it's no different than that he wants the paper, that he's not giving her the paper.
Because
he knows, in other words, he's giving her something that's Aser Bahana, which is the same way of saying, I want the paper back, meaning I don't want you to make a kinyan.
No. See, by Yisuri Hana, it's not necessarily that the husband's showing he doesn't want to do it. He'd just be cheap on paper, and this is the only paper he has. By Yisuri Hana, he's not making this, I don't know. I don't know if he's making the statement that I don't want to make the divorce. It could be he wants to make the divorce, but this is just the only paper he has. So Yerusha is an interesting comparison. If you look right under number 5 and 5b from the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss says he doesn't think Yerusha is such a great riot. It's a little bit apples and oranges. You're comparing Yerusha to something like Gershon. He writes, the Ein Zepel, Im Chidusha Torah, the Isha Kainis, Agev, Akorcha, after Bevadi, Yesh Lechalik, Ben Yerusha, She'im Bamaise Kinyin, Ela Me'atzmei Hanachla, Mimamashis Vaiveris, Mimanchla Neichel. He says he thinks it's not such a good comparison. Yerusha never needs a kin. You don't need to do anything. You just sit back and it happens. At least by Gerush, there's got to be something. There's got to be a nasan. The Torah didn't just say, everyone sit at home and talk about Gerush, and she goes, you have to do something. So then maybe what the Torah wants over there is more than just something. It wants an actual Maisa Kinyan. Yerusha is all passive. No one does anything by Yerusha. Everyone just sits back and everything happens naturally. Sure. So naturally, good. So maybe if it works naturally, so maybe there is a sad to say you don't need a Maisa Kinyan. So he doesn't think it's such a good comparison, necessarily Yerusha to something like Gerushin. But at the end of the piece, he accepts. He says, that's what everyone's using. We're using Yerusha as our Makar. But he thinks there is room to be Mechalik between Yerusha and something like a Gerush.
Mechalik is different types of Yerusha. Yerusha Ben from the Av, it's not that the property is going down to the sun is moving up.
Yeah, I guess we can get involved.
That would be more
Yeah, I think it might depend. You can make such an argument depending on what type of Yerusha we're going to see. Now, at the end of all this...
It's not a good... I mean, what is the Ketzai's little bent out of shape for?
Well, I mean, why? Why did he have Yerusha? Yeah, it's a good point. Why didn't the Ketzai's ever deal with Yerusha? Yeah. Why did he ever use Yerusha? I hear. It's a good point. I mean, everyone talks about this Yerusha. What happened? Why didn't the Ketzai's deal with Yerusha? It's a good point. You know, why didn't he think Yerusha unless he holds like this chiluk that Rabbi Moshe Weiss is making that Yerusha is not kapir? Right. You know, could be it's not a good chiluk. But at the end of the day, we're still having a, you know, svar as a hair. This still needs a little bit of an explanation. How is it still working? You know, come on. We need to get a little bit more into some lumdus over here. How does this all work? So you tell me it's bakarcha, and since it's bakarcha, so therefore the Torah does the kinyan for me, like Yerusha. So I found two beautiful pieces over here from Rabbi Moshe Weiss. He tries to explain a little bit better to us, why exactly does this make sense? And he says like this, number 6a. He says, V'yisoyed hadover hu. D'l'oilom lo'kofsa Torah's chusei maman al adam. The Torah never forces people to own things. It's not the Torah's business. You want to own something, you want to buy it, you buy it. You don't want it, the Torah's not going to force you to own something. That's why you have a premise, you can't acquire things against your will, because that's not the way the Torah set things up. Ownership is if you want to own it. Avokinship among chusei lav's chusei adam hu. But what happens when you have a kinyan which is fundamentally not for your benefit? The whole purpose of the kinyan is not for your benefit. Normally you acquire it because it's for your benefit. You want the object, or you think you want the object, but it's for your benefit to acquire it. So then you can say to yourself, listen, if I don't want it, so the Torah's not going to stuff it down my throat. However, if the whole acquiring is against your will, you don't want to acquire it, That it's not so outlandish to think you can acquire it against your will. What's the whole premise of why things don't work against your will? Because the Torah didn't stuff things down your throat. But the Torah did. The whole gerushin is not wanted. The whole gerushin is a type of acquirement where she says, I don't want it. And still the Torah says you do. So if you can take out the what bothers us about being kind of things about karchai is because we have in our mind that there's an option system over here. If I want, if I don't want. But once you say, well, gerushin is not like that. Gerushin is not whether or not you want or you don't want. So if so, if the same way I can have a chalais against my will, is it so crazy that I can be kind against my will? Why is it so outlandish to be kind against your will? Because the Torah didn't force things upon you that you don't want. Oh yes, it did. Gerushin, the Torah forced upon me, even if I don't want it. Oh, so he's medamet to kinyani gneva. Exactly. So therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, that's the reason why over here it's not so crazy. The reason why over here it makes sense that you could be kind of something against your will is because the whole element of gerushin is without your consent. So if your consent doesn't play a role, so why can't you be kind of things against your will? So therefore, it's more move on why by gerushin it works, and he's medamet to where we find in other places in the Torah, like kinyani gneva, where the Torah says ulafichach kain haganav bakarchay. Same thing by a ganav. Right? A ganav is still something. He's not chayv, let's say, an oinsim. The guy says, oh, me, I never signed up for this. He says, yeah, because we don't need you to sign up for this. Something which we put on you doesn't need your consent to have it. So something, anytime the kinyan is going to be surrounding something that you never wanted, you don't need your consent to make the kinyan. And therefore, says Rabbi Shabbat, that's pshat over here. The reason why by gerushin you can be kind about karchay, if you hold, let's say, like not like the tzayis, the pshat is because why can't you be kind about karchay? Normally, you can't be kind about karchay because your consent is what makes the purchase. Because without your consent, the Torah is not going to force it down your throat. But the Torah will force it down your throat because the Torah says gerushin is against the will. So then why can't you make the kinyan about karchay? Therefore, it's not a problem. That's one way he explains it. Then in the next piece, he explains it a slightly different. Yeah. Okay, we're going to get to Kineva is the next piece of Gemara. We got to get to that.
But if Kineva's Kinyan is not, he has to do the Kinyan.
There's a bunch of different parts of Kineva. Right, because there's a bunch of different parts of Kineva. There's Kinyani Kineva, then there's the Maisa Kineva. Not this week, but Belineda will get to this issue of Kineva. It's the next piece of Gemara, actually, by us over here. And another piece, Rabbi Shuai says slightly different. He says like this. The B'chol Kinyan, Ma'aber HaMakhina L'Koyin Es HaBailus Al HaChifetz. How does a regular Kinyan work? It's transfer of ownership. This is something we spoke about many times. It's transfer. I own it, and I'm transferring my ownership to you. That's what a kinyan is. I give you whatever I have, because I'm transferring. I own it, and then I transfer my bialis to you, now you own it. But when you're talking about, say, something like freeing an evet, a shtar shechra, is the pshat over there that the evet is the owner transfers bialis from him to the evet? You're not transferring bailus to the Eved. You're not transferring bailus to an Isha. So what are you doing? You're removing your bailus that's hovering over the Isha. And then her bailus is automatically there because she owns herself. By an object, I have no direct connection to the object. My whole connection comes in from the bailus that you gave to me that you once had. But by an Isha or by an Eved, it's not like that. It's not that I'm giving you ownership on yourself. You automatically have ownership on yourself. But I overtook your ownership with my ownership. So when I step back, now you own it on your own because you are yourself.
So then how could the next guy be a machna her, be kind of her, or the next person be kind of the Eved? You know, it's...
Because then he overtakes her bailus again. Because someone else now overtook her bailus. The chiddush of the Torah was, she can allow...
That it's only a temporary bailus, and right. It's until someone else takes her over?
No, she has a very... She has independent ownership of herself. But the Torah was mechadish that if she marries a man, that man now overtakes her bailus. That's the chiddush of kiddush. And when divorce is, when we remove that bailus, she becomes herself. So he explains like this. Aval b'shichur ein lodem b'geder haknav v'kinyin v'le b'aylem ha'ya eved v'ein him noisem eved l'mishachar v'ale b'shichur zahu nasa ben chayin v'ein ikaynes masha ha'ya l'odin. He's not acquiring what the master used to have. The otu nasa eved shal atzmai v'chein b'get the kinyin isha shahayla b'al b'ishta avar u'batim in ha'ya l'mahidigashin. Whatever the husband had on her goes away. V'nimsa the kinyin shahayla odin b'avda u'le b'al b'ishta ein ha'ya aydi shichur v'hagirashin. Doesn't get transferred through it. El batal min ha'olam. Goes away. The get doesn't transfer ownership. The get ends his ownership. And her ownership is not transferred back to her. It's independently there. Val kein, the ain't a getter haknav kinyan. This is not a regular transfer. A regular kinyan means that I'm consenting to transfer the bailus from you to me, and there's a consenting process. I don't need that over here. Because it's not a two-way street. It's not that the Baal is transferring bailus to the Isha. The Baal is severing his control. Once he severs his control, so now the isha is automatically her own person because she independently has rights to herself. That's why when we learned the beginning of Kedushin, it says the kainis atzma. We pointed out that many people ask, "What do you mean kainis? You're not kaining yourself. You automatically own yourself. It's just that he, till now, overrode your power, and you get rid of him. You go. You're not kaining yourself back." Says Rav Moshe. Why? Same thing here also. Val kain de ein zegeder haknav kinyan el din mechudish el geirushim v'shichur. So this is not like a regular buying and selling process. This all you need to happen over here is to get the husband out of the picture. So if I can get the husband out of the picture, so then everything can work. So he writes, the efshed in mitam zeh mahani af bal karcha. Maybe this is why Gerushin always works against the will.
It's
the Eved V'isha.
It's similar to him. He dies. Nobody's going to ask any questions.
That's right. Right. It's the same idea. We don't need her. We don't need the bios to be transferred. We need him to get out of the picture. Once he's out of the picture, then everything can run smoothly. V'isha kivin she'ein zeged a kinyan. It's not really a kinyan. Klei mahani ba korch el din mesuyim sha'al yodei botos chos habal v'kinyan odem. So he says, maybe that's the lumbus of Gerushin. Gerushin is not the pshat, I'm transferring. When you want to transfer ownership, so the Torah has rules. Transferring of ownership requires a makna and a kaina. And if you can't be kaina of that paper, you're lacking in the kaina part of your job. But by Gerushin, there is no makna and kaina, there's no transfer. It's get rid of the husband. How do you get rid of the husband's power? The Torah says, if he gives her a paper, that gets rid of him. We don't need her to do anything. She just needs to be able to pick up the pieces once he leaves. So therefore, maybe that's pshat, and why by Gerushin it makes sense that you can have what we call a shtar bal karchoi, because by Gerushin we don't need her to be making any kinyonim. We just need her to be able to be kinyon herself once the husband gets out of the way by removing his bialis.
So how does hefker work then? I mean, this seems to be weighing in on whether it's silik or hakna. It sounds like he's saying hefker is silik, because you can only have a kinyon if there's a second party to receive it, in dine mamonos.
That's true. We're going to deal with silik actually a little later in this gemara. Yeah, but that's something that needs to be discussed.
Come back to the Rav Asher explained it, so it's sort of back to the default position of being who she was.
Right, he's saying the starting point of the Torah is that you can make a get against the will. Now, what does that teach us?
Right, but it's not really against the will. I mean, you can make a get, but I'm saying it's not a kinyan. I'm saying like,
Right, that's his point. I think what everyone's trying to do is trying to work backwards. The Torah was mechalish to us, the gerushin works makarcha. What is that? What are we supposed to do with that type of information? So either we do what the Ktzai says and says you don't need kinyanim, or you say some creative Torah that you do need kinyanim, but the Torah makes the kinyanim, or you do what I think Rav Asher Weiss is doing. He's saying, well, that means the Torah is telling us that this is not a regular buying and selling procedure. It's instead a one-sided procedure. This means he has to remove himself, and then she automatically just goes. If that's true, so then she doesn't play such a role. If you think about it like that, then she's really not really so effective. We don't need her. It's not like she needs to agree to want to remove his bialis. As long as his bialis is out of the picture, she's done. Now, it's interesting. His bialis only came on her with her consent.
Right.
This is the interesting part of this whole equation. The only way we started this whole ball rolling was because she agreed. She said under the chuppah, yes. And that started his power. But when it comes to taking off his power, as long as he's willing to take off
that
his power,
sense.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, no, that's just in turn.
Well, once you consented.
She has to consent to subjugate her
correct.
Own independent bialis to his. But she doesn't have to consent
for him removing it.
For him to
right,
remove,
right.
To maintain
because
it.
She doesn't need to do anything.
Psychologists,
100%.
A woman wants to be married.
Right, right. But the point is that once it comes to breaking the marriage, she's not involved because she's not doing anything. All she's doing.
I'm not simplifying and say he can go to Beis Din and say we're divorced.
I agree.
Vinatsan, it's to let her know.
So without the Torah, I think you would have been right. I think without the Torah, we could have said, why does the Torah say give the get in her hand? Why don't you give the get to Beis Din? I don't give the get to the third party.
Just to let her know. Because
yeah,
she has to know.
Right, so there's other dinim. There's other dinim.
What is she that in town?
There is other dinim. There is a dinim. There's many dinim.
She has some rights when she gets divorced. The right to be supported.
That's correct. That's just because...
No, but she gets Suksuba, right? She gets.
Well, yeah, it's a trade-off, but you're right. Of course, the fact that she's going to get is divorced now is going to have halachas pertaining to her both ways, for good and for bad. She now has to go out and get a job. And she, you know, has to support herself. But at the end of the day, if the husband decides he wants to end his marriage, he doesn't need to consent with her. So therefore, she's not doing anything in the marriage. And for the same price, why do you need to put it into her hand? We spoke about this in Kedushin. Her hand is not really a significant point. What's her hand? What's her hand? Put it on the street. You know, put it on a public display, you know. You can put it on Facebook for the same price. Why do you need to put it into her hand? So this is a discussion. If you're viewing her as a non-active participant, which is clearly true from the Torah's fact that it's Bar-Karcha, then it doesn't really make sense what the Torah says.
Is that the starting point? Is the starting point the fact you do a Bar-Karcha, or is the starting point, well, you don't need to be machneh?
I think you have to ask yourself, what? Well, I think Bar-Karcha is a big one. If in the fact that the Torah says you can do it by karcha, we the Torah says that we don't even know yet. We didn't even get to that yet. Right?
So based on this longus, how has it evolved that you do need consent? Meaning,
you want to know how Rabbeinu Gershom had the right?
Right. So you go back to Rabbeinu Gershom.
Yeah,
so
we spoke.
How does that? I understand how it practically changes things, but the longus that you're arguing here.
The simple answer is that the Torah doesn't say explicitly you can do it against her will. If the Torah would have to say it explicitly you can do it against her will, then no one would be allowed to come and make exer otherwise, simply speaking, whatever, getting onto all the details of that statement. But because the Torah doesn't say explicitly, we don't even know where the Torah learns it up, Akarcha. We didn't see anything. We read the psukim together. The whole thing is four psukim. The whole masechta is four psukim. Right, and we didn't see yet where the Torah says about Karach, and it's a discussion amongst.
Says if he doesn't like her,
says the Nasabiyada, he does it, and he goes on.
The premise starts with he's made a decision that he doesn't want her anymore.
Right, but
then it just says and he puts it in her hand.
Yeah, but if you go backwards and say, well, this divorce is like any business deal. I mean, every business deal seems to have two parties involved. So you'd say this is no different. It's always where's your starting point? Where do we start saying that divorce is different than a regular business transaction? That's what we need to get to a little bit more today. Is it so different? We all know it's different because it's bakar. Okay, how do we know that?
Maybe it also depends at the end again. Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Kiva. You know, why the divorce someone?
Yeah, that's definitely going to play a role.
Rabbi Shammai won't make sense because all
if it's by his daughter.
So then yes, there is force.
Right, but the problem is we don't pass like that. That's the big problem. Right. If that would be true, you'd be right. Now, according to the Tzais, what happens in the following scenario? Let's go back to the Tzais for a second. Let's assume you accept the notion of the Tzais that there's no din that you need to actually be kind of get. What happens when the woman wants to get divorced? She's thrilled to get divorced. She can't wait to be kind of the get. What happens then? Is there like a different type of gerushin then? Is there two types of gerushin in the world of the Tzais? Is there gerushin of consent, where Taka works with Darki HaKinyonim, with good old-fashioned Kinyonim? There's another type of gerushin, when she doesn't want, and then she's making trouble, so we have to come up with a creative Lom Deshaget. So in that case, we use a Lom Deshaget called Parkarchai and a Maisin Asina. Is there two types of gerushin, or it's all one big type of gerushin, and however you're going to figure it out, it works? Nafkamina is going to be, as Reb Chaim points out, there's a Shaila in the Rishayim, we'll get to Bli Neder, when we get to Amid Beza, this Amid, can you be makna get to an isha through Kinyan Agav? What's Kinyan Agav? Let's say, for example, I have a piece of property, and I say to you, I'm going to be makna you the land, and I'm also being makna you the land property. Now, the Gemara Ketusha has a whole discussion. Does the metalton have to be on the property? Called Tziburi. Does it have to be on it? So the Gemara says it does not have to be on it. Which means I can have a piece of property in New York, and metalton in Florida, and I give you everything, one-stop shop, you get it all. You get the property, and you get the objects. How exactly does that work? Discussion. Okay, it's called Kinyan Agav. So the big machalik is Hashem, can you do that with an isha? Can you say it to her like this? I have the get, and I have a piece of property. I'm being makni the property, and along with the property, I'm being makni the get through Kinyan Agav. Big machalik is Hashem. So some Rishonim, mainly Rashi, hold that works.
She would have to be kind of
She's kind of the land, she gets the get.
Yeah.
Now again, we're not talking about the get sitting on the property. It gets in a lawyer's drawer somewhere,
it's
and she gets
everything.
It's not chutz, nothing like that. It's nothing.
So why should it be different than metaltolin?
So normally, if
we say it works with metaltolin, that she can be
no, because it's
getting but if you go like the ktsayis, so Rabbi Chanan Tainis and Kavitchum, 1 second. This should be totally in the ktsayis.
Right.
If you hold like the ktsayis, there's no such thing called yonim. It's all the nasan. That's not an asina. Where's an asina over there? I didn't give anything. So they were.
What do you mean? I gave it to you the same way I gave the land. The same way I gave you the land in New York. I didn't give you the land.
I was makna you the land. That's kinyonim. That's not an asina. If the Torah was mechadish, says Rabbi Chanan, according to the ktsayis, you need something called a magical act of giving. Where was the act of giving? I didn't do anything. So Rabbi Chanan wants to say that machlokes rishonim to whether or not kinyan agav works is telling this ktsayis. Now I don't think you have to say that. I don't think you have to say that. I think you can say there's two separate, independent ways to make a gerushin. You can either make a gerushin through a maisin asina, that's when she doesn't want it, and there's another way to make a gerushin, when she wants to do it, and she's happy to do it, and that's called a maisa kenyan. So it could be according to the tzais, it's not one way or the other, it depends on the situation, which is a little funny.
You see that in the psukim, you
know? Yeah, it's a little funny how you read it in the psukim.
It's a way to do it.
Whatever makes sense, if the tzais agrees that you can give her a get, willy nilly, agrees to it. Why wouldn't any
right? So that's the question. But now the Tzais will tell you there's no such thing called kinyan by gerushin. We're all kind of making this up. We're assuming that kinyan is really the best. The nasan is secondary. Mechatesa. The Tzais will tell you where do you see otherwise? All I see from the Torah is nesinas. I don't see anything called kinyanim. So if there's nothing called kinyanim, then it doesn't work.
No, if you have a kinyan, don't. That's the
highest level
of a homer, right?
Of acquiring, but if acquiring is not the nekuda, according to the tzeis, we don't care about acquiring. We don't care about it.
Acquire, you have the knowledge. If you say you see that.
The sina just means giving.
You can make a kinyan without
the
sina.
Function of the sina.
Correct. You could make a kinyan without the sina, but if the kinyan is not what the Torah wants of us, right, exactly. So it doesn't help. No, so
how do you make a kinyan without the sina?
I don't know why the Torah wants the sina. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why the Torah writes a nasan biyada. The Torah could rove a nasan to the rabbi. I don't know why the Torah wrote a nasan biyada.
How do you make a kinyan without the sina?
Through agav.
Kinyan agav. I didn't give her anything.
But you're making a kinyan on the first, on the main object.
But again, I still never gave her anything. You can't say that I gave her the get. I didn't give her anything.
No. I want to give you a piece of land.
Yeah.
I can't hand you the land.
Right. So you make a nice
kinyan. How do I give you that land?
So you make a kinyan on it.
So there's a kinyan. Now, the kinyan agav is that anything else that I say.
Somehow magically that works.
Okay. But there was still fundamentally an actual maisa kinyan.
Correct. Okay. Right, there was a maisa kinyan taking place.
So there's always, but that's a form of nesina.
Maybe not.
Well, how do you make the kinyan?
But out of nesina,
you
make
it. How do you do it?
Because there's a whole list of rules called kinyanim. That still doesn't mean. Chalipin, yeah. We'll have to talk about it.
Chazaka, the star, is not
a nesina. Right, so again, because sometimes the Torah doesn't care about nesina. All the Torah cares about is kinyanim. So that's the question we have to ask according to the text. What does the Torah care about by Gershon? Does the Torah care about acquiring, however you go about doing it? Well, the Torah cares less about ownership.
Why would you say that? Both. Talking about a case where it's
so that's how Reb Chaim learns. Reb Chaim is quoted as saying like this. There's two viable ways to make a divorce. There's two ways to do it. You could do it through a way when she's on board, then you make a regular maisa kinyan, and you're kind of regular darkei kinyanim, everything is good. Then there's another type of divorce, where she's being difficult, where she doesn't want to get divorced, then we got to come up with creative lamdish approaches of how to make it work. So the difference would be kinyan agav. If you accept the tzais, and there are those who stand like this, Rabbi Chaim says this, if you accept the tzais, that the tzais's idea is there's no such thing called kinyanim. Kinyanim don't exist in the world of Gershon. We don't care about kinyanim. We care about one thing. Did you fulfill the Torah's v'nas and biyada? So the Reb Chaim says kinyan agav does not work because you didn't fulfill the Torah's v'nas and biyada. But if you hold not like that, then the Torah does care about kinyanim. What do you mean? Kinyanim, it's about karcha, so you'll say creative Torah that we said till now. However, Reb Chaim says, no, there's two different options. You can either do aga, you can either do kinyan, or you can do bakarcha. Now, how do you read this all into the psukim? Okay, you have to be more creative in the psukim. But Reb Chaim was willing to accept that it's not one or the other, it's either. There are two ways you can make a chalais. Either if she consents, that's one way. If she doesn't consent, you do it the other way. That's the chayra, what comes out from the psukim.
Well, couldn't he certainly learn that if you can learn from the Torah that you can do a bakarcha, which
yes.
Is mashiv from the language of the Torah, because it all begins with him making a decision he doesn't want her anymore.
Correct.
Then certainly you can do it where she agrees to it.
Right, that's true.
In other words, it's not like there's...
You're right. In the outcome of it, it's very hard to believe.
One of the mechanics.
The question is, right, how is
one
it working?
The mechanics.
You're 100% right. It would be crazy to say that you can have a divorce against her, but not a divorce when she wants it. The question is, but how is that divorce going to work? With what rules? Meaning, the Torah gave us rules of how to do it. What rule would that fit under? So that's
so
the question.
So she accepts the kinyan without the
That's
nesina,
right, that's right. Then you don't need the nesina. If you can do it through kinyanim, you don't need the nesina. That's the way, I think, Reb Chaim understood the ketzais. This is all fine and dandy, but there's a steering ketzais. Oh, fine and dandy. Ktzais and Simon Reish, beautiful ktzais. Everyone talks about it. So much Torah. Blin Ed will talk more Torah about the ktzais. But there's another ktzais. In number 8, this ktzais is in Simon Samach Vav. It's a whole different chelak. Simon Reish is chelak Beis. This is Simon Alpha ktzais. The other ktzais writes the following statement: Ubeino nami shoisha tizgar b'niyor. We need the woman to be zayich in the paper. V'im amar ezegidech v'yana sheli yena megureshes. Because the Gemara in Gershon says that if she says, I don't want to be kind of the husband says, I don't want to be makdi the paper, it doesn't work.
What?
The ktzais? It shouldn't be the ktzais. There should be everyone else except for the ktzais. Sasha a pella. The kash that all the achronim, right, on the ktzais himself addresses in Simon Samach Vav, 200 simanim earlier, 150 simanim earlier. What's going on over here? The ktzais himself is saying she doesn't be kind of the paper? Wouldn't this defunct...
That's what she wants.
Wouldn't this defunct... Oh, the teretz is, go back to the stipler. This would be a beautiful ride to the stipulus you cite. Of course the tzais agrees you need a mais in the sina. But what is called a mais in the sina? The tzais will tell you, if he's not willing to give her the paper, that's a lack of a mais in the sina, not a chesaron in her being kind of the get. It's a chesaron in his mais in the sina of the get. So therefore it's not a steer in the tzais. According to the stipler, this is a beautiful answer to the steer in the tzais.
Kind of get at it from the wrong angle. Right.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's that he has to give the paper.
I agree.
It doesn't matter what the
steer is. I agree. The wording of the tzais is not great.
Whether he gives it.
Yes, agreed. The wording of the ktzais is not terrific, but I think other than that, it's a pella how to answer up the steer and the ktzais to be what's going to be the difference between this piece of ktzais and the ktzais in Semen Reish. Now, what about kedushin? We talked all about this with regard to divorce. What about shtari kedushin? Is there a tzad to say that when it comes to shtari kedushin, all you need is just to give the lady the paper? She doesn't want to be carrying the paper. So the truth is, if you look together over here in the Ktsois, it's number 9, the Ktsois Simon Reish makes this argument. The Ktsois writes, Avafilu hachi gabi kedushin mahani kasav b'suri hana. Says the Ktsois, by a suri hana you can use for kedushin. Because of the hekish. Since we have a hekish between Gerushin and Kedushin, whatever works for Gerushin works for Kedushin. So if by Gerushin I don't need a Maisa Kinyan, I don't need a Maisa Kinyan for Kedushin either. So Paschal Zikzor is you can write a Shtar Kedushin on a Suri Hana.
Maybe it depends what method of Kedushin you're
using. Here we're talking about Shtar.
Right. So maybe only by Shtar.
Yeah, yeah, Pash. I think that's the Pashas. We'll see where Maftoli takes it to Kesset. But I would think the Pashas will only be there. Ulefi Zenire. B'shtar matana says the Ktsois. What about a shtar matana? I want to write a shtar that I want to gift to whatever I want to gift to, and the way it's going to work is through the shtar. How does that work? Is that just because I hand you the shtar and that's what makes it work, or it means you actually have to be kain of the shtar? When you're kain of the shtar, everything becomes effect. So the Ktsois lefize near b'shtar matana shekatz v'al esiri ano deloy mahani. If I were to write a shtar matana, a gift on paper that you aren't able to kain halachically speaking, it wouldn't work. Why? Mishum de gabi shtar matona kosav ekach a sefer hamikne. Pasuk in Yirmiyah says ve'ekach a sefer hamikne. Right? What's the pasuk saying over there? That's the Gemara makes the drasha from this pasuk that you can be kain a shtar. The power of shtar from this pasuk that ve'ekach I took a sefer hamikne, the sefer that I was makne you. So the Ktsoi says you see from here that you actually have to be kain of the shtar. That's when you need to be kain of the shtar. But by Gerushin, I proved to you, you don't need to be kind of the shtar. And Kedushin is Makash Shavayelitzia. But everywhere else, B'chala Terekula says the Ktsois.
That was talking about a Mekhaman.
Yeah, that was talking about Mekhaman, because I wasn't talking about Kedushin and Gerushin. So Zakhti Ktsois, anywhere else, there's a din, you have to be kind of the shtar. And if you can't be kind of the shtar, then the Chalois doesn't go through. This is the Chiddush of the Ktsois. Which means the Ktsois is telling us that anything besides for Gerushin and Kedushin, you always need to be able to be kind of the shtar. For example, let's say you want to sell someone property. And one of the ways to sell property is through a shtar. And you add a beautiful shtar, but the shtar is a Suri Hana. So you can't be kind of the shtar. So then the Mechira wouldn't go through. This is the Chiddush of the Ktsais. So what the Ktsais was Mechadish to us, that when it comes to Kedushin, Kedushin is the same thing as Gerushin, and by Kedushin you can write on a Suri Hana. Comes along the Avnei Meluim and says, what are you talking about? That can't be true. Kedushin is fundamentally different than Gerushin. Yeah. So it gets even more exciting. Hold on, it gets better. We're going to steer ink two pieces of Ktsois and steer in two pieces of Avnei Meluim. That's a long day today. Okay, so Zakht Avnei Meluim in number 10, he says, Umahai time in Yire, the Shtar Kedushin, possible in Kassel Suriano. It's possible if you wrote a Shtar Kedushin on a Suriano. Why? Why is it possible? I forgot to be getting kosher, I feel the Suriano de Raiso, but by getting it's kosher, the Iska Shabbat, let's see, why don't we make the Hekish? Zakht Avnei Meluim, Mikoma Kamshani get, the Havi Bal Karcha. Zakht Avnei Meluim, you can't compare Kedushin to Gerushin, because the way Gerushin works is Bal Karcha. And since it's Bal Karcha, you don't need the other person's consent. So if you don't need the other person's consent, all you need is a Maisa and a Sina. But by Kedushin, we know it doesn't work that way. We know Kedushin, you need the other person's Isratzos. Kedushin can't be done against her will, so then she is an involved party. If she is an involved party, she has to be kind of the Shtar. Therefore, says Avnei Meluim, but by Kedushin, it's Pashut that it would not work on a Suri Hana. Now there's another Avnei Meluim which I didn't photocopy where he writes not like that. In Avnei Meluim he writes no Makis Shavayel Yitzir. So clearly there's a very big debate in the Ktsais's world about how do we deal with Kedushin. Do we say Kedushin Makis Shavayel Yitzir, or do we say no Makis Shavayel Yitzir? We don't need to come with the Makis Shavayel Yitzir. The reason why Get works Bal Karcha is not because Get is special. It's because Get is special for one reason, because it's Bal Karcha. Any Chalois which would not be Bal Karcha, you wouldn't have this leniency. That's the simple way of understanding the Ktsais.
When we say again, I think we addressed this last week briefly, but I don't remember what you said. Yeah. We're talking about Yisur Hena, it's only us.
So there's a big discussion. This is a big discussion in Achrein about what's the Yisur Hena over here. Is it the Rais? Is it the Rabbon? There's a whole lot of complicated discussion.
But he has the Yisur Hena on himself.
So then they start talking about Mitzvah Slav. Lahenis Nindu is Gerush. And Mitzvah, this is the discussion over there in a lot of literature about this type of a topic. So now, what I want to get to Mitzvah Shem next week is we will have to see that there might be a very stark raya to the Ktsois' premise that you don't need a Maisa Kinyan, not only by Gerushin, but even by Kedushin. There might be a Gemara Mufureshas later on in our parak, which we have over here, that we'll see there might be a raya to what the Ktsois says, not only by Gerushin, but even by Kedushin. And then we'll have to see, after all this Torah, then we'll start the Gemara and to see how the Gemara is going to be so shver based on everything we said for the last 2 weeks.
They didn't okay.